I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and the program is called Dawah with No Mistakes. Now, what are we talking about Dawah? Dawah means to invite. We said earlier that Dawah means invitation, what we invite to. So we're inviting people to worship Allah alone without any partners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. He said, I only created you guys to worship me alone without any partners. That's your purpose. No human being has any other purpose than that. To worship Allah alone and avoid making partners with Him in our worship. Okay. And this is what we're inviting people to do. This was the job of messengers, prophets, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since the time of Adam, Allah says He never punishes the nation until after He has sent a warner to them, a messenger, to tell them about this purpose. Is that true? All right. So it means that every nation has to have a messenger or else they're not held accountable. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us more than 124,000 messengers came with this messenger. Message of La ilaha illallah. No God to worship except Allah. 124,000 prophets. Is that amazing? What I'm getting at is that we know almost nothing in the terms of how many prophets came before. But the last and final prophet, his message was for the alamin, all of the people. And he was the rahma alamin. He was the mercy to all of the people because Allah sent him with the clear message, don't worship anybody except Allah. Right? Knowing that no other prophet will come after him. No other prophet will come after him. He told us that it became our responsibility to carry this message. So we are now messengers for him, aren't we? So you're messengers of the messenger of Allah. This is a very big and special puzzle, but we're not living up to it. You are carrying something more precious than diamonds and gold and silver. You are carrying the message of salvation to all of humanity. And you don't act like it. And you sure don't look like it. So it's time to get in touch with reality. We must do this, Dawah. Or Allah will punish us here and in the next life. The easiest thing to do in Dawah, wallahi, is just live your life as a good Muslim. You don't believe me. I know you're thinking, no, give us some little tips, like little tricks. We can do this and we can do that. There's no trick. I have said this more than one time. Many hundreds of times I've told people the same thing. After we talked about Islam, I said, listen, I don't want you to be a Muslim, okay? I want to deliver the message. I gave you the message. If Allah wants you to be a Muslim, you will be. Got me? I'm clear from you. But I'll give you a piece of free advice. Go off on your own where nobody can see you and just in your heart, don't move your lips, in your heart say these words, oh God, guide me. That's it. Clean your heart as well as you can. Be honest as much as you can and really seek God. Even if you don't believe He exists, just say God. Even if you're not there, I don't know, hey God, guide me. That's it. It's Allah that guides. It is not you. You cannot guide the people. Allah says you do not guide whom you love, but rather Allah guides who He will. But your job is call, because Allah will ask them on the day of judgment, did somebody call you? Did somebody call you? And if he said yes, his name was Abdulaziz, his name was Abdullah, his name was Furqan, his name was Ahmed, his name was Muhammad. He came to me and he told me one God and Muhammad's his messenger, but I didn't do it. Okay, fine. But what if he said, nobody called me? Oh, yeah? Where's Abdullah? Where's Muhammad? Ahmed. Man said you didn't call him. Lady said you didn't call her. What happened? You were busy. So busy with the dunya, you forgot about the big mistake. Now you're going to go into Tawheed? Allah will be there. The Lordship of Allah. Then the Uluhiyya. Then the none. Okay? Meaning here is, first thing you have to explain is, who is Allah? He created the heavens, the earth, and everything that's in it. He's the only creator and sustainer of all that exists. Nobody, anywhere, anytime, has anything with Allah. He is Allah, and He's not in creation. Next, all worship, all ibadah, all love, all devotion is the only poor?
Allah.
There is no love in this universe except that it's love for Allah. There is no sake except for the sake of Allah. Sabilillah. And, very important, in the Isma wa Safa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never in His creation. Nothing ever compares to Him. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Wa lam yakunu kufuwan ahad. Nothing compares to Allah. There's nothing like Allah in the creation. Anybody that does that has just committed their unforgivable sin. Regardless of how nice it sounds, the sunset is so beautiful. I can see Allah in the sunset. Astaghfirullah, Alhamdulillah, what are you talking about? Doesn't work, don't say that. People say, Allah, He's everywhere. Oh, really? I do it to Him, I'm bad, right? I say, He's in the rainbow? Yeah! In the sunset? Oh, yeah! Beautiful waterfall? Yeah, He's in your toilet? He said everywhere. He's in the HIV virus, AIDS? No, Allah is not everywhere. His sight is everywhere. His hearing is everywhere. His knowledge is everywhere. And even me pointing to my own ears and eyes when I say it is still not right. That is even wrong. Got it? You can't be even demonstrative when you begin to talk about Allah. You need to put your hands down. Because you don't want to compare Allah to anything in this creation. It's too dangerous. That's where people go astray. And guess what Allah says? I don't forgive anybody to set up partners with me in worship, but anything less than this I can forgive. Shirk is unforgivable. Keep in mind that it's Allah who guides, not you. Your job is only to do your best. If you don't know the answer, what are you supposed to say? I don't know. And this is the sign of an alim in Islam. The sign of a knowledgeable person in Islam is the fact that when he doesn't know, he says, I don't know. In America, it's real hard for the Western people, by the way, to say, I love you. They can't do it. They can't. They just can't do that. It's a sign of weakness, you know, like to his wife or something like that. He's not going to do it. Muslims don't have that problem. We say, I love you to anybody, right? Hey, I love you, man. I love you. We say it all the time. Don't say it to sisters. You're going to get in trouble. Unless you talk to a father first. But we say, I love you for the sake of Allah. The book said that. No problem! But we have three words that we can't say. We got a hard time. Somebody comes here. I got a question. Okay, what is it? In Islam, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, no, maybe I heard somebody else. It's either an ayah in the Quran or maybe it was a hadith or somebody had an opinion or I read it on the back of the Cheerios box. But it says, can you say I don't know? But I love you. I'm playing around a little bit. I'm going to get serious. Okay, back to the main point. What are some of the mistakes? A big mistake is to argue about the Bible. Do not argue about the Bible. This is not your subject. Okay? A lot of Muslims made some serious mistakes in the last 30 years. Especially in the last 20. This idea of debating. And if you have a copy of the tape, then you know which one I'm talking about. You already know which tape I'm talking about. The most famous tape for dawah in the world, right? Burn it. Do not copy it. Do not give it to anybody. Don't ever use it again. And you're going, it can't be right. Why? Because I already sent out 20 of them. It can't be right. Why? Because I like it. It can't be right. Why? Because everybody likes it. Okay? Is anything that you said based on the Sharia of Islam? Because if it's not, be careful. Is it in the Quran that we're supposed to debate with the Christians over the Bible? Or does it tell us very clearly not to insult their gods? Huh? Yes. And in the Sunnah of the Rasul, which is the only other thing we look at, did he ever take the Bible and say, now, my King James Version says, but the RSV says, but then if you look over here in the Moffat Bible, compared to the Douay Bible, the Reims Bible, did he ever do that? Or did he see Omar radiallahu anhu reading one day, passed by him and said, Omar, what are you reading? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam couldn't read. Only illiterate. He said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading a translation of the books of Moses, the Torah, the law of Moses into the Arabic language. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, if Musa Moses was here today, he would have to follow me.
Oops, sorry.
Is that a good hadith or not? Then what are you doing? And you said, yeah, but you don't know how many people came to Islam from that tape. I'm going to ask you the question. Did anybody in this room come to Islam from that tape? No. Did anybody in this room ever see anybody come to Islam from that tape? No. Well, now guess what? That was the first tape shown to me, and I hadn't made Shahada yet. Fortunately, I missed it. I fell asleep. That and the message. That's another tape you don't need to mess with. But it's not so bad. It's still. But not like this other tape. Let me tell you why. 1994, I was a prison chaplain down in Texas. I went up to the copy machine in one of the local prisons in a jail. I opened the copy machine to make copies. Now, that copy machine is used by every police officer in there and all the people on duty all the time. They're making copies of requisitions, copies of lunch menus, copies of everything. They use it all day long. Zoom, 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 you know. And I'm only there once a week, okay? So when I walked to the copy machine and opened the top of it, there was a piece of paper already in it. When I turned it over and looked at it, there was an order blank to order videotapes. The first tape is the Bible, the Word of God. Between who? Jimmy Swaggart and the next tape, Islam versus Christianity. Sharush and the next tape, and the next tape, and the next tape, and I'm looking at it and saying, when did I leave this paper in here? A week later, still laying here, and I don't remember the form, but I have so many different papers and things and forms that maybe it's mine, but they're $20 a piece. We don't sell tapes that high. Most of the time, we are lucky to get $10 for a videotape. I'm thrilled to get $5 for a videotape. Who's charging $20 a tape? Where is this coming from? But then it mentions some kind of music, praising the Lord, and Jesus loves you. I'm going, wait a minute. How could these be mixed on the same order form? Trinity Ministries, right at the bottom of it, which is the Christian organization working right there, has their own desk right there in the jail. And I went to them and I said, excuse me, chaplain, I got to ask you a question. Did you guys leave that form in the copy machine? And he went, kick it out of my hand. And I thought, that's cool, man. They're doing dawah for us. They're advertising Islam for us. Look at that. Jamal Bedouin, Ahmadinejad, and others. Oh, man, they're doing our dawah for us. That's great. And I got to thinking about it. I said, wait a minute. I know these guys right here. They throw the Qurans in the trash. Every time I bring Quran up there and leave it, they throw it. I can't catch them. If I could, I could charge them, you know, to sue them, but I can't catch them. Why would they all of a sudden be promoting Islam or anything that attacks Christianity? Then it dawned on me. And they have said it since then. They won the debate. And we just promoted that all over the world. And we thought we promoted what? What we promoted was fitna. We promoted fitna. Because if you know anything that occurred in Louisiana, how many of you knew that? That's where it took place. And one of the brothers who was there that day, Namobo Basso, that was his name, was with me in Hodge. And we were talking about it one time, and he said, do you know what? I was there, and he said, not a single person made Shahada after it was over. The Christians were against the Muslims, and the Muslims were against the Christians. Do you understand what I just said? They hated it. But they felt like they won because they heard their man saying what they wanted to hear. And the Muslims felt like they won because they heard their man say what they wanted to hear. The Muslims are going, Takbir Allahu Akbar! Takbir Allahu Akbar! Takbir Allahu Akbar! And on the other side, you had the Christians sitting over there going, yes, Jesus! Yes, Jesus! This is one of the biggest mistakes that we have made. And please, my brothers and sisters, know this. I went to the first debate I ever saw in any religion. I never saw a religious debate until after I accepted Islam. When I accepted Islam, there was a debate which occurred in the local university within a few months. Okay, I took Islam in July. That happened in November. I was doing the video for the program. I was up on the stage real close to both speakers. What I noticed in the audience was Almost everybody there was a Muslim. And when I asked the Muslims that were in the masjid all the time, who are all these people? They said, we don't even know them. And since that time, when I've attended the debate, I went to one that we had 5,000 people. When Ahmadinejad came, wasn't a debate, I'm sorry, this is just a speech he gave. It's the Bible, the Word of God. That's the name of his speech. It was in Houston, Texas, 5,000 people, the majority of them were Muslims. Why do Muslims have to go to a talk about the Bible? Why? I already know the Bible is the Word of God. I have no problem with that. Do you? Does anybody here doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, what do you think I said, a fake? The Bible is from Allah. What does Bible mean in Arabic language? Kitab. It means Kitab. That's all it means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is the one who sent down the Kitab. Therefore, the Bible is absolutely, positively the word of Allah. Yes or no? Okay. Did he send it down in English? Okay, then I'm not forced to accept the English Bible, am I? Did he send it down in Latin? Nope. Koine Greek? Nope. It was sent down in Aramaic. So just go get the one in Aramaic and let's have a look at it. Oh, in that case, what? He sent it down, it really is, but they don't have it anymore. Be careful, my brothers. Be careful, my sisters. Think about what you're doing before you start talking to these people. If you start to attack what they believe, they're just going to put up a defense mechanism. If you say what Allah told us to say, in the beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us everything we need to say. Everything is in the first few verses. You don't have to go more than 4 verses in Surah Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك كتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبل وبالآخرة هم يوقنون. Instead, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, this is the book wherein there is no doubt, the Quran. It's a source of guidance for those who are God-fearing. And they believe in the unseen, which is meaning Allah and His angels and all the rest of it. And they take something out of the things that Allah has given them. This is a way to become God-fearing, Muttaqi. And look at this. They believe in what's being sent to you, Muhammad, and believe in what was sent down before. How dare we challenge the idea that there's something wrong with what Allah sent down before as a condition of our own belief? It sounds hypocritical to talk to somebody about the Bible. On the one hand, we believe in it, and the other hand, we're criticizing it. Why do you think it made people so angry? If you think it's successful, I'll ask you to do one thing. I've been trying for almost 2 years to break the barrier in Singapore to end over there. The Muslim student organizations have been begging me to come over there. They've tried very hard working with all the politicians there to get me into the country. But always there's a stumbling block. You know why? Because somebody whose name doesn't need to be mentioned went over there and insulted them and tried to do this same presentation. And after that, they said, this man will never come back to Singapore, and if anybody brings anything like that, they're not coming in. Even though there's so many Muslims in Singapore, they can't bring a speaker in just because of that. And if you think that's only one case, go to Sweden. Sweden was one of the best countries for Islam at one point. You know why? Because they didn't have any religion at all. They don't care about religion. Many of our brothers and sisters are holding office in the government in Sweden. How many even knew that? Yes. They have good position there. They can influence the government over there easily. And then a certain individual went over there, and there was a priest, and their church is not very powerful over there. They said they were the last ones to accept Christianity and the first ones to run away from it. But yet the priest, trying to hold on to his dignity, was challenged to have a dialogue with a certain individual. Afterwards, he felt so insulted that to this day he's still attacking everything about Islam and Muslims in that country. My point is this. If what you're doing is good for Islam, there needs to be some barakah with it. Where's the barakah? And finally, and lastly, this point. I don't think I even need to go there, but I'm going to do it anyway. If anybody thinks that what happened on September 11th was something good, just show me the bottle for some. Show me the bottle for. What happened on September 11th, if that was something good, where's the benefit? Where's the blessing in it? Well, there's been nothing at all except anti-Islam since that day. And if anybody's in doubt about suicide bombing, please go to the ulama and read what Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Saleh Saleh, and alim after alim after alim after alim after alim, if they know anything, even a little bit about Islam, every one of them has the same fatwa. Can't do that. Doesn't work. All it does is give people an excuse to keep doing to us what they're doing to us. It's a stupid thing. They, the ulama said, these people, if they've committed suicide, regardless, they've lost. Because it means you gave up on Allah. Even the arguments, they answered arguments themselves in the fatwa. They said, for the one who said, well, if the Prophet ﷺ told so-and-so to go do so-and-so, knowing he would wind up dying, but he didn't kill himself. The people killed him. And when the Prophet ﷺ does anything, that's the Prophet anyway. That's not you. And we don't have a Muslim leader. Don't even think. I'm talking about don't even think that that's something that you should say is good. Because it's not, and it's not that one. We Muslims are the first ones to be against terrorism. And if Allah guide us to the right way, we can see that it was Islam 1400 years ago that made that war against terrorism. It's called jihad. That's what jihad is. It's the fight against oppression and terrorism and tyranny. That's what jihad is. George Bush didn't declare anything new. He said Islam is a peaceful religion. We already know that. Thank you, Mr. Bush. He said we need to stop terrorism. We already knew that, too. But then what happened after that was not people stopping terrorism. That was people killing innocent men, women, and children all over this planet. It's going on ever since. In the name of fighting terrorism. And we know, and we understand that. What I'm saying now, and this is the last thing, when we're calling to Islam, we're calling to Allah. That's all. We're not calling to our nation. You're not calling to be Pakistani. You're not calling them to be Arab. You're not calling them to be from Bangladesh. You're not calling them to speak a certain language like Urdu. You're not even calling them to speak Arabic. You're calling to worship Allah alone without partners. That's what you're calling to. The evidence, I'm closing with this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dispatched Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu anhu, into Yemen. And he sent him there to call the people to Islam. And when he sent them, what did he say? What did he tell them? Call them to La ilaha illallah. Call them to the worship of one God. That's it. If they accept that, then tell them about the Salah. When? Thumma. Then tell them about the Salah. The prayer. But if they don't, it means what? Keep staying on that subject. Don't move to the next subject. If they accept that, they go to Salah. If they accept that, then you tell them about Zakat. Then about Ramadan. Then about the Hajj. Step by step by step. But why in the world, if a baby can't walk yet, can't get to the first step, you put him up on the third step? This is nuts. A baby can't crawl, you want him to walk. Some babies are newborn. They can't even crawl. You're trying to make them walk. You don't do that, do you? Well, what about a person that doesn't know La ilaha illallah and you're trying to tell him about the hudud? Huh? You're trying to tell him about hudud. You're trying to tell him about why women wear hijab. There's a very simple answer for that. Just ask them, why do you wear clothes at all? Hello, you were born naked, weren't you? So why are you getting clothes on? Modesty, yes? Okay, they're just a little more modest than you are. Next question. Well, why you guys got beards? I mean, you believe in God, don't you? Why don't you ask him? He's the one that made them grow. My question is, why do you cut yours off? Duh. Next question. Just like that. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And by the way, when some of the brothers give me a hard time and say, oh, but brother, you know, my wife, she doesn't like a beard. You know what I tell them? That lady's really got mad. I said, why does a woman want a man that looks like another woman? You can write off Birmingham. Nobody's calling this man back. Forget that.
One brother told me one time, he said, "Brother, make dua for me that I'll grow my beard." I said, "I can't." He said, "What?" I said, "It's shirk." He said, "No, I said, make dua for me to grow my beard. That's all. You're leaving. I'm just asking you to go be in an airplane. Make some dua. Make dua. I'll grow my beard. He wanted to grow a beard." I said, "I can't. That's shirk. In Islam, I know that Allah is the one who grows your beard, but I will make dua that you'll quit cutting it off." Yes. And by the way, I don't apologize for telling people what's something in Islam. You want me to apologize for being a Muslim? Then you need to quit apologizing for it, too. We have done nothing wrong. We did what we were created to do. I'm going to end now with the last thing, being what I started with. Allah said in the Quran exactly what our purpose is on this earth. Why are you here? Ask the people that. Do you know why you're here on earth? Do you know why you're here? Do you know how you got here? Do you know where you're going? Do you understand your purpose here on this life? Do you know? Because Allah told you in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنْ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He only puts you here to worship Him alone. If you don't do it, then you have failed. But if you do that, then everything else can be forgiven. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive me. I ask Allah to forgive me for my poor way of presenting this program tonight. I ask Him to guide all of us to do better. I ask Allah to make us of those people who call to Him and to Him alone without any partners. I mean, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا وتحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا تطيق لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.